And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome aboard to Fox Sports On the Road, Fox Sports New Jersey, 93.5 FM, 1450 AM. I'm your host, Michael Cohen. Very special guest for you today, as we are going to be talking to a retired professional wrestler with World Wrestling Federation, World Championship Wrestling. That is the one and the only Brutus the Barber Beefcake. He is going to join us here this morning. Keep in mind, folks, that Brutus will be at TD Bank Ballpark on July 6th for the Somerset Patriots game against the Reading Fightin' Fields. He'll be there to sign autographs, take pictures, you name it. He's going to be there for the fans. So we're going to be welcoming him in here right now to speak with us on Fox On the Road. Brutus, how you doing?
I'm doing absolutely fantastic. How are you doing?
Doing great. We understand you'll be making an appearance at TD Bank Ballpark on July 6th for the Somerset Patriots game against Reading. Can you talk about this? How this opportunity came about?
Al reached out. My wife Missy, who is basically my booker and agent and wife and everything all rolled into one, does a fantastic job. And, was able to get together with Hal and put together, a time for me to come and go and see the team and get to meet the fans and spend time, and very excited about it.
Awesome. Just tell me more about how you got into wrestling back in the mid-70s.
Okay, well, I started around 1976. Used to watch go to wrestling. My older sister used to take me. Wound up meeting Hulk Hogan, a young Terry Bollea before he started in the wrestling business, and was working out with him in the gym and hanging out. And he tried to break in the business here in Florida. His attempt was met with a lot of opposition, and he was recruiting someone to go on go on the road and break in the business, and he couldn't find anybody to do that. And I volunteered to try to be a professional wrestler, even though I wasn't real sure about where it was going or anything. But he and I had a good mix together. People had a great response to us together, and we wound up going to Atlanta, meeting with some people, and they put us out into the world. And a few years later, here you are, it's Hulk Hogan and Brutus Beefcake.
That's awesome. Of course, the Hulk, we all know what a legendary career he has had. What was that like working with him, gaining him over the years? What kind of person is he?
Well, he's a good man. He's been, he was always a good friend to me, helped me, helped me a lot when I had my accident in 1990. He came to Florida to be there for me when I came out of surgery. It's been a real long and tumultuous road, but everything is pretty good.
1984, you joined WWF with Brutus the Beefcake. That's really where your persona began during the 80s. Talk about, take me back to that time period and really when you began that run.
Yeah, that was kind of like really 1983. I've been on territories, every territory basically in the country for 7 years, getting experience, a lot of meat with a lot of the veterans in the business, and came through New York to see Hogan in Philadelphia at an event. They needed someone to fill in for Big John Studd in Austria for a big match over there with the head guy, the champion from Austria. So I went to Austria and wrestled their champion. He's actually the mayor of the city of Graz. And I did such a good job that the guy gave me such a stellar, what happened? Somebody's calling.
Don't worry about it.
Such a stellar review that, Vince was immediately, excited. And we started talking, about you know, bringing me in and what kind of character, what kind of name I would have, and they had the name Beefcake. Vince's wife liked the name Beefcake, and somehow we came up with Brutus, with the name Brutus, and it became Brutus Beefcake. I mean, I got to admit, at first I was a little taken back. I wasn't really sure how that was going to be accepted. Mm-hmm. I thought it was a little comical. I wasn't really sure about it, but it was actually a blessing in disguise, because it's a name that people can't forget.
Yeah.
Once you heard the name Brutus Beefcake, especially once you saw me in the kind of shape and the way I looked back then, there was no doubt about it. You remembered me, and you remembered who I was. And
you still look good.
And on and on and on, and things just kept getting better and better.
And Mike, now I can tell you,
yeah,
because again, I grew up watching Terry and Brutus wrestling and everything. This man used to strut, and he used to cut when he got in the ring.
I mean, that's especially as the barber. I mean, that was an addition. In addition to into the persona of Brutus the Beefcake, correct? I mean, when you added a barber a little bit later on, right? There they are.
The big scissors right here. It really was, it's hard to say it, but it was really an afterthought. They were setting me up to fail. Brutus Beefcake had been wrestling all over the country, main events, and sellouts everywhere, every night. Why, in God's name, would you ever want to change somebody's name and gimmick when they're red hot on fire?
Right.
When they're white hot on fire. Why would you do that? Okay, the answer is you wouldn't do that to anyone that you respected, that you wanted to continue as a top guy. They threw me a hand grenade with no pin in it, and it was left for me to figure out what to do with it. Thank God that with a little help from Hogan and being able to leverage Vince, I was able to come up with this idea about putting guys to sleep and then cutting their hair. And I mean, cutting everybody's hair. Every person I wrestled for the next year, every time we did a TV taping or wherever we went, somebody got their hair cut. And it was so exciting for the fans. I came out with these big scissors. First, I had little scissors, came out with these big shears. The people went crazy over it. Nobody had ever attempted to do anything like this before. Never been anybody. A haircut match is something you did once.
Yeah.
And that usually was when someone was leaving a territory, they got their hair cut, they left. So being able to have them to adapt, to improvise, adapt, and overcome this barber thing, which gave me no prerequisite to what it was going to be. They gave me no warning about it so that I could plan. Everything I had to do was on a wing and a prayer. It was just improvising. And thank the good Lord upstairs that it completely caught on and became even bigger than Brutus Beefcake was.
That's awesome. Jack, do you have anything? Go right ahead. Jump right in.
Well, we got to look at this. Because of what you did, Brutus, you led to that a future president's hair was actually cut in that federation. You know, I mean, think about it. You were the creator. You were the innovator. I mean, like I said, yeah, I watched you cut Greg Valentine. Pretty boy, Greg Valentine's hair. I mean, you know, yeah, and as you put it, they didn't have a choice. You know, you beat them down, and then they had to get it cut. And they had to, you know, you created a couple of bald spots on people. I mean, again, Brutus is like, Mike, you've been reading, obviously, about him. He is a legend. You know, what they use right now when they intro the show, it's now, then, now, and forever. That's what I see when I hear Brutus's name. When Al said that Brutus was going to be with the Patriots, I was like, oh, we got to talk to him. I mean, this is somebody, yeah, this is me being a little starstruck, but this is somebody that I grew up on. You know, I mean, he is an innovator. I mean, he wrestled the Iron Sheik. He wrestled the times of when there was Andre the Giant. You know, these are perennial big names in wrestling. And when you think about the creation of WWE and WWF, there's the man. There is the legend. Nobody can ever take that away from him.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I wrestled Bruno Sammartino, Pedro Morales. You know, guys that were top world champions, top of the heap, you know, and these guys were my mentors. These are guys that I learned so much from, that they were nice to me. They, you know, didn't necessarily happen to everybody, but in my case, they really embraced and took me under their wing and really helped me to learn this business, this wrestling business, in a way which, you know, helped me to be able to excel, and help me in the ring, and help me, you know, as far as learn the psychology of our business and being able to connect. Here's the thing that people don't do now. The guys don't connect with the crowd the way we did in the 80s. In the 80s, when we came out, and the people were they were standing on their chairs, not just standing up, they're standing on their chairs, and they're going cuckoo. And they kept doing, they do it through the whole match. They do it after the match. And it's like, I've never seen anything like it since. And, you know, and that knows we had CBS, we had NBC, Saturday night's main events. I put in more time on Saturday night's main event than any WWF wrestler there was, because my numbers were so high when I came on, when I was on that show, that they just kept ringing me back. Every Saturday night, my main event, they had Brutus Beefcake penciled in on that thing somewhere, because the people were just so overwhelmingly excited to have to see me, and I love working. You know,
and you got to understand, Mike. Yeah. That led to titles. Why don't you ask the man about the titles that he has won?
That's exactly that's exactly where I was going. I was going to go that and a couple other things, but yeah. So so Brutus, go right into the titles. All the titles that you have won. Go for it.
The title I won for WWF was the World Tag Team title that Greg Valentine and I won in the Spectrum in Philly back in 85, early 85-ish, something like that. And it was an incredible ride. The people, the business was beginning to change. You had MTV, you had VH1, you had Hollywood now, who totally had rejected wrestling in the past and wanted nothing to do with it, suddenly was ringing our phone off the hook. They couldn't be involved enough. They couldn't get enough of the wrestling business, and we were rock stars running up and down the road. And you can't even imagine how much fun it was. And Greg and I happened to be in a position where, even as a heel team, as bad guys, the response to us was so incredibly positive that there was literally riots in the crowd every night, because people would be cheering for us, people would be cheering against us, and next thing you know, they'd be all fighting each other in the crowd. We'd have to stop our match, basically go out, give security a time to come in and get everybody under control, back in their seats, then we'd start up our match again. And it was a different time for our business. The bad guys became somebody that it was okay to like. So the fans, it was a new fan coming out, the fan that's like the tough guy, the bad guys, you know, and that's where Greg and I slid right into the spot.
He just added a new take on the anti-hero, if you will. You're like, you know, like the cowboy that comes in with the black hat, you know what I'm saying?
And I was all set to take the Intercontinental belt I'd, you know, put in 6 months to a year wrestling a honky tonk man who was the champion everywhere. The Warrior had just burst into the scene, and somehow he was able to leverage his way into my spot and take the belt away from honky tonk, and it didn't go to me like it was supposed to. They had to change the pay-per-view all around, and which was a shame, because that led to a chain of events which happened, and I resulted in a horrific accident. Right just before I was going to go a second time, I was supposed to get the belt in SummerSlam for Mr. Perfect.
Yeah.
I ended his perfect streak, and I suffered a horrific accident. You know, I got to say, had I had the belt like I was supposed to,
mm-hmm.
the accident would have never had occurred. That whole changed the whole course of my life, much less my career, which, you know, according to the doctors, was over completely. And it was only a miracle that I was alive after this thing. And being able to recover and going back into wrestling was not something that they were, you know, talking about. Nobody could say, you know, that's going to be possible. And I was able somehow, but like I said, by the grace of God, to recover and come back 110% and come back and as the barber once again, and doing the barber shop to work my way back into the ring, and then back to WrestleMania 9.
I mean, just talk a little more about that, the recovery and the process that you had to go through. I remember, you know, it took a couple of years to really, you know, before you were able to get back into the ring. Just what was that like for you, just to go through that, just to get back and get all the momentum back towards wrestling again?
Well, it's hard to even describe. I have so many years devoted to wrestling, and then to be thrust into a situation where, you know, doctors say absolutely no way you're gonna be able to wrestle again, no matter how good you recover. You're just, you know, with your skull being reconstructed with titanium strips and 30 screws and wire and all this stuff, that it was really impossible to be able to come back from that. And, you know, I was determined, because I didn't have anything else. I, you know, it was a bad time. I was suffering a horrible divorce. Both of my parents had recently, and within the past year or two, both my parents had passed away.
Mm.
Basically, I was alone in the world, and it was up to me. My future was up to me. You know, as far as if I was able to make this comeback, which they said was impossible, to actually do it. And that's what I devoted every ounce of my energy and power. And thank God I had some, you know, some good friends at the time that rallied, you know, behind me and gave me the push forward and kept, you know, encouraging me to keep fighting and fighting and fighting. And you know, it was definitely a couple of years before I felt comfortable enough to want to get back in the ring and risk my life and risk everything. But I was able to. And it was, you know, it was an incredible time in my life to be able to do that. We don't have enough time to go into the details, but let us say that, you know, after losing 60 pounds in the hospital, having my jaws wired shut for 4 months and not being able to eat, and then, you know, going back into the gym, and within 6 months after the accident, I was already back in California working on a film, working on a movie set that Hulk was doing, doing stunts, jumping through breakaway sets, driving stunt cars and motorcycles and on and on and on, and doing what they said was impossible, which I'd never be able to do. And just to show everybody that you can't keep a good man down. And you know, after that, the sky was the limit.
Jack, you have anything you want to add on that note too?
Well, obviously, he's wrestled everybody. Piper, as he said,
yeah.
The Stud, the legends of wrestling, and then they honored him in the early. When was it, Brutus? When you were honored as the Hall of Famer?
2019.
Oh, that was 2019. That was 2019.
Yeah.
2019. They honored him with, you know, that's like Cooperstown. That's like, you know, the NBA Hall of Fame. This is a Hall of Famer. You know, they can never take that title away from him. and they never should.
Yeah.
Because of what he did for, and like Brutus has said, you know, wrestling is not the same. You know, back then, you know, Terry Funk is a perfect example. Back then, Terry Funk was known to bleed, and it was real freaking blood. Okay? You know,
it was.
Back then, they when they went into the matches, they were using it. Nowadays, it's all entertainment. It's all staged. You know, so when Brutus was coming up through the ranks, when he was wrestling, he was wrestling. You know, he got probably bruised, battered, and beaten. And for the next day, he was actually in pain. You know. But, yeah. No, I mean, like I said.
Yeah, there was no rehearsals. There was no practicing. There was no scripts. There was no nothing.
You just did it.
You never saw your opponent before you go into a match in front of 20, 25, 30,000 people. And you have to know your trade. From start to finish, you have to have complete and utter confidence, 100% confidence in yourself and your opponent when you're going out and trying to entertain 30,000 people at once. And there's no do-overs. There's no, wait a minute, we're going to try that again. None of that. You know, you have to be flawlessly perfect if you're going to be, you know, a champion, if you're going to be the top of the heap. And thank, you know, like I said, thank the Lord I was able to achieve these things and be at the top for many, many years. And what a ride it was.
Like I said,
yeah.
2019, he was named to the Hall of Fame. How was that like to you?
Well, that was an incredible day. You know, I had been waiting before that day for many years. Actually, somebody had pranked me about 5, 6, 7 years earlier, called from the WWF headquarters, left a message saying that I was going to be inducted onto the Hall of Fame on a phone, and there was the caller ID and everything said WWF, and it was a joke. And they had called and told me I was going to be inducted, and then family, everybody, the whole was completely going out of their minds with excitement. And then only within a few weeks we were trying to contact WWF, and they didn't know anything about it. And it was not true that I was going to be inducted. And that was kind of an embarrassing and horrible thing to have to go through and then wait years and years and years. But then it was bittersweet to actually, you know, when the deal came down and, you know, they used, Sports Illustrated was going to make their announcement of the Hall of Fame, of my going into the Hall of Fame as a special announcement. And I was, you know, that was a real, you know, an honor for me and a privilege to be, have Sports Illustrated think that highly of me, because I'd already been in Sports Illustrated before with Hogan and in regards to WWF, and them deciding to use, you know, my induction into the Hall of Fame there as a special thing for them was just incredible.
What was that like, having the Hulk be there for you and induct you into the Hall of Fame that day?
It was fantastic. They didn't have any inductees really at that time, but because I asked Vince McMahon if he could do it,
mm-hmm.
They made an exception and they let him come out and do the introduction.
That's awesome. That is awesome. Again, folks, the Brutus will be at TD Bank Ballpark on July the 6th. That is a Thursday, July the 6th, when the Somerset Patriots take on the Reading Fightin' Phils. And again, Brutus, if you could just once again talk a little more about what people can expect when they see you, see you live in person in color at TD Bank Ballpark.
Well. Like you just said, live and in color, Bruce, and with his Clippers in hand at all times, we'll be strutting and cutting our way all over the field. We're going to be having a fantastic time getting to meet and greet with all the fans. And, you know, baseball was one of my great loves. I played ball as a 11, 12-year-old with Wade Boggs.
Awesome.
Hall of Famer. And Golden Glove, and still to this day, a very close personal friend, and what a fantastic guy Wade Boggs was. And we played ball together when we were 11 and 12 years old. And had I not been a wrestler, pretty sure I would have been somewhere in the ranks of the major leagues somewhere. Probably by now I've been. I'd have to say I'd be retired, but
you could have been in Cooperstown.
Could have been.
You could.
You could have the home run record or strikeout record. You know, for pitcher all to yourself. Or, you never know.
You never know.
You never know. Brutus, this was awesome. I know for Jack, you know, this is, you know, Nirvana, you know, for wrestling fans to sit down and have a chance to chat with you. Really do appreciate it.
Oh, no, I just want to thank you guys and thank my wife, Missy, for being so helpful and she does so much to help and inspire me and keep me up and, you know, moving forward all the time. And it's just exciting. I love the fans. And without the fans, there would be no Brutus Beefcake. And so, you know, when fans stop me in the airport, Brutus, you take a picture? Of course I'll take a picture. Would you sign an autograph? Of course I'll sign an autograph. That's what I do. And that's the way, you know, people that the fans love, they're all supposed to be that way. Unfortunately, a lot of athletes, you know, they don't look at people, you know, like they think they're better than other people. And that's not any way I look at the fans. I love the fans, and I want to acknowledge their you know, their greatness and their you know, and they're out there being always encouraging, always happy, always smiling, always wanting to, you know, to be involved.
And once again, we want to thank the Hall of Famer Brutus the Barber Beefcake for joining us here on Fox Sports on the Road. Once again, he is going to be at TD Bank Ballpark on July the 6th. He'll be there for the Patriots Reading Fightin' Phils game to sign autographs and take pictures with the fans. So, folks, we'll talk to you next time right here on Fox Sports on the Road. I'm Michael Cohen.